Mrs. Beck lived halfway down the left side of Rayton Village. I read Jasmine Cottage on the brightly painted gate, and as we went up the garden path, the door opened and the little woman waved gaily. "Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm right glad to see you both." She ushered us into the living room among good, solid-looking furniture which showed no sign of poverty. The open cupboard of a mahogany sideboard gave me a glimpse of glasses and bottles. I managed to identify scotch, cherry brandy and sherry before she nudged the door shut with her knee. I pointed to a cardboard box loosely tied with string. "Ah, good. You've got her in there, have you?" "Nay, bless you, she's in garden. She always has a bit of a play out there of an afternoon." "In the garden, eh?" I said nervously. "Well, please get her in. We're in rather a hurry." We went through a tiled kitchen to the back door. Most of these cottages had a surprising amount of land behind them, and Mrs. Beck's patch was in very nice order. Flower beds bordered a smooth stretch of lawn, and the sunshine drew glittering colours from the apples and pears among the branches of the trees.
"Georgina!"
carolled Mrs. Beck.
"Where are you, my pet?"
No cat appeared, and she turned to me with a roguish smile.
"I think the little imp's playing a game with us. She does that, you know."
"Really?" I said without enthusiasm. "Well, I wish she'd show herself. I really don't have much." At that moment, a very fat tabby darted from a patch of chrysanthemums and flitted across the grass into a clump of rhododendrons, with Tristan in close pursuit. The young man dived among the greenery, and the cat emerged from the other end at top speed, did a couple of laps of the lawn, then shot up a gnarled tree. Tristan, eyes gleaming in anticipation, lifted a couple of windfall apples from the turf. "I'll soon shift the bugger from there, Jim," he whispered, and took aim. I grabbed his arm. "For heaven's sake, Tris," I hissed, "you can't do that. Put those things down." "Oh, all right." He dropped the apples and made for the tree. "I'll get hold of her for you anyway. Wait a minute." I seized his coat as he passed. "I'll do it. You stay down here and try to catch her if she jumps." Tristan looked disappointed, but I gave him a warning look. The way the cat had moved, it struck me that it only needed a bit of my colleague's ebullience to send the animal winging into the next county. I began to climb the tree. I like cats. I've always liked them. And since I feel that animals recognize this in a person, I have usually been able to approach and handle the most difficult types. It is not too much to say that I prided myself on my cat technique. I didn't foresee any trouble here. Puffing slightly, I reached the top branch and extended a hand to the crouching animal. "Puss, puss," I cooed, using my irresistible cat tone. Georgina eyed me coldly and gave no answering sign other than a higher arching of the back. I leant further along the branch. "Puss, puss. Puss, puss." My voice was like molten honey, my finger near her face. I would rub her cheek ever so gently, and she would be mine. It never failed. "Bah!" replied Georgina warningly, but I took no heed and touched the fur under her chin. "Bah, bah!" Georgina spat, and followed with a lightning left hook which opened a bloody track across the back of my hand. Muttering fervently, I retreated and nursed my wounds. From below, Mrs. Beck gave a tinkling laugh.
"Oh, isn't she a little monkey? She's that playful, bless her."
I snorted and began to ease my way along the branch again. This time, I thought grimly, I would dispense with finesse. The quick grab was indicated here. As though reading my thoughts, the little creature tripped to the end of the branch, and as it bent low under her weight, she dropped lightly to the grass. Tristan was on her in a flash, throwing himself full length and seizing her by the hind leg. Georgina whipped round and unhesitatingly sank her teeth into his thumb, but Tristan's call of resilience showed. After a single howl of agony, he changed his grip at lightning speed to the scruff of the neck. A moment later, he was standing upright, holding a dangling, fighting fury high in the air. "Right, Jim!" he called happily. "I have her!" "Good lad! Hang on!" I said breathlessly and slithered down the tree as quickly as I could. Too quickly, in fact, and an ominous ripping sound announced the removal of a triangular piece from my jacket elbow. But I couldn't bother with trifles. Ushering Tristan at a gallop into the house, I opened the cardboard box. There were no sophisticated cat containers in those days, and it was a tricky job to enclose Georgina, who was lashing out in all directions and complaining bitterly in a bad-tempered wail. It took a panting 10 minutes to imprison the cat, but even with several yards of rough twine around the floppy cardboard, I still didn't feel very secure as I bore it to the car. Mrs. Beck raised a finger as we were about to drive away. I carefully explored my lacerated hand, and Tristan sucked his thumb as we waited for her to speak.
"Miss Harriet, I hope you'll be gentle with her," she said anxiously. "She's very timid, you know."